This is a long poem. It's actually the third section of my book again. It's called The Obsessive Gaze. It deals with the myth of Narcissus and Echo. And I've never read it because it's too long to read at a reading, but I wanted to record it by way of thanking Michael Homolka for his very generous and perceptive review in the fall 2010 issue of Southern Humanities Review. He said this section was his favorite, so I'm reading it for him by way of thanks. It starts with an epigraph by Yvonne Boland from her poem Tirade for the Lyric Muse. I loved you once. It seemed so right, so neat. The moon, the month, the flower, the kiss. One, pas de deux. When I breathe, she breathes. When I look down, she follows. The secrets that pass between us. It's almost talk in code. The house. The man with the strange thumb. The lost nights. The purges. Sometimes, though I know 7 years of bad luck might ensue, I break her into pieces. One eye fails. Another. I vowed to go on without her, but there are so many surfaces where I apprehend this one I despise so obsessively, love so obsessively, for being the first and last who will leave me. Two, after mathematics. Scatter all the shards like seed. Dim the lights. Avoid excess of any kind. You will still be caught wanting your double. You are everything the same. Three, veiled illusions. No matter that her face, once beautiful, on film was still. Now it cracked and sagged, rotted. She kept the drapes drawn. If she left the house, she wore veiled hats. If she had to look into the mirror, she prepared by weeping or drinking so much that nothing would be there but a blur. Four, chaplet of the infernal gods. So said Socrates, because of the narcotic effect of Narcissus, whose sweet scent is nearly foul, like perfume masking rot. But they sway so easily in wind. Their small white dresses call, come, come. They long to be undone. They hold still in the sun, suffering, pale, pliant as martyrs. They yearn for the pool where they can be perfectly reflected, marble flowers that sink like the dead into earth, far past roots, stopping only at bedrock, where they shatter into useless stars. Five, metempsychosis with star and ash. The lover's gaze is famous for its ardency, fire in the eyes, eyes like stars. The lover whispers, look into my eyes. And this strange exchange of one soul with another occurs, or is said to occur, no one knowing exactly what the soul is, whether its substance is transmissible, transmutable. But certain laws of physics are immutable. For want of fuel, for want of oxygen, fire dies. Can you feel the rival myth creeping in? The blood-red bird rising from ash? It too wants nothing more than the adulating cry a despairing lover longs to see mirrored. Your back. Six. Lost law of thermodynamics. At night, the stars dream fire while other bodies, knowing they will never travel fast enough to find their origins, lie still and dream. There is no room in any bed for the quantity of dreaming that goes on. In this way, the universe expands. Seven, fractured. How many parts does it have? The self. Are those it loves and fears included? And what about its interrupted dreams? 8. Reprise with moon and sigh. She climbed fast, the goat-like one, behind her, bleeding lost. Stones rumbled over the earth's dry crust, plunged into the troughs, his cries cut from the air. She was too quick for him and disappeared. Later he went among the shepherds, whispering of the beautiful young girl hiding among their herds, intent on spells, sickness. That night, when the moon hung thin as a sigh, they climbed to find her. She was asleep, white-limbed, beneath the juniper. They hacked and hacked till there was nothing there but her cries, her cries. 9. Alternative reprise. Or, she arranged to distract the wife while the hot one dallied. She would be next, he promised, so while he went off, she kept the wife busy under the portico. Should she wear her hair in 3 coils, 2 looped over her ears, then fed back into a double loop at the base of her neck? Was she old enough for that? And when a man stared too long, a man she dreamed of with desire, should she smile just a trace before looking away? Or, oh, did she talk too much? But words were so numerous, and who knew? Just then the husband reappeared. The wife saw the telltale sated glow. Slut, she hissed, contriving her rival's fate. Never again would she say a word, except to repeat what was said to her. She would fall in love with a man who ignored her altogether, mistaking her echo for his beloved's strange, half-missing call. 10. Face, mask. Don't think I sought this affliction. One day I looked into water, felt mortality seep into my veins, that quickly, as if they were dry cloth seeping wet. The myths claim the reflection seems like someone else, but they're wrong, and I'm not in love. I stare, even with no wind, the face won't hold steady. Loss fills it from behind, the way a face fills a mask. The phenomenon of this absorbs me. So yes, I'm there day after day, longing, but if I could stop, grab a weapon, go into the woods after deer I hear behind me, feeding on the reel, I'd miss my shot to know what it is to forgive, to be forgiven. 11. Weak claim. What if I have worn out my days in weeping? Even if I leaned over water, my tears disappearing as the surface blurred, I would not lose sight of you, my love, whose portrait I carry behind my eyes, image superimposed on the world so I can fool myself, can say, this is mine. 12. Dream love. The poet's narcissus, with its magenta-edged corolla, shimmers in wind. In multiple, a whole field of them fluttering above the sea, while bones of the dead glow white as flowers in the shallows where sailing ships once smashed against rocks in ancient storms. A man crosses the field, heedless of all but time and space. Midway, he stops. He has forgotten something, something crucial, his name, his face. He looks for water, finds a small pool. Ah, he stays there, moving off only at night to sleep in a bed of flowers, crushing them with his weight, with the weight of dreams that open like a pool, yielding to a deeper pool where he sees his face, beautiful but mouthless, not so much freakish, as sad, the sorrow of one who has understood yet can find no one to tell. 13. Arms and treaty. There will be no resolution to this struggle. The self longs to love another, but each night when it lies down inside its own arms, it finds itself weeping out of loneliness, yes, and worse, the body and the world, story of separation, no matter what else intervenes, body, pool, cry, there is bound to be a severing, cessation. Otherwise, no one gathers Narcissus into her arms without thinking death has been hurried, all for the eyes' insatiable pleasure. 14. Coda, Double Jeopardy. There is no greater loneliness than this. The image given back, untouchable, the gaze so fragile even breath disturbs it, everything desired losing substance. The image given back, untouchable, almost dissolves, everything desired losing substance, suggesting death, almost dissolves. Suddenly knowledge comes, unstoppable as water, suggesting death, not with words but blurred and fleeting cries. Suddenly knowledge comes, unstoppable as water. The gaze, so fragile even breath disturbs it, not with words but blurred and fleeting cries. There is no greater loneliness than this.